Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
We are back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's different about this week versus last week?
I have a feeling.
You're a year older.
Well, technically, happy birthday. I'm a week older.
Okay. But the date changed. The number changed. The number that you write on all your applications, all your car leases, it changed.
My gosh.
Yeah, okay.
No, so, that's a fact.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We got to talk about it. So, the number one question that everybody wants an answer to is, on your birthday,
mm-hmm.
which happy birthday song does your family sing?
Oh, I'm black, so.
Okay. Just wanted to, yeah. You know, how black
are
you?
I even got the new, well, of course I got Stevie Wonder, I got the regular, but then I also got Happy Birthday to You, the new Black People version.
Oh, I'm not that black.
There's multiple new Black People versions.
Yeah, I don't even know that version. I think that's probably generational. Like, I know it's your birthday. You know what I mean? Like,
no
I know those.
That. No one
absolutely.
Sings that.
Absolutely.
No, I'm saying they'll play that. No one just with no audio track is just singing it.
And then
birthday.
Shine a light on them, right? Like that one, yeah. That's a birthday
song. No one sings that. No one sings that. Yeah,
they sung it at my birthday party.
Played that song. They played it.
No, they can sing it.
No, they don't.
So I just sung it. I just did it. So
yeah,
there's that. Okay. So all
right. Yeah, so I had a good birthday. My biggest fear, I don't want to look like Grady. So I'm just like, you know, did it happen yet? Not just the whole thing, like just looking like an old dude, like wearing polyester suits, like the whole thing. Like, I don't know if it happens all at once. You know what
I'm
saying?
The thing that we have to talk about though is when I met you, you were wearing polyester suits.
Whatever.
So, and that was 10 years ago. Like, let's be honest about it. 10 years ago, when I pulled up on you, you were wearing polyester suits. You're not anymore, but there was a time.
Yeah, well, let me tell how you were when I met you, okay?
No, you know, yeah, listen.
When I met Tiffany, she was dressing quite, I'm going to just call it 90s R&B, okay?
That's not true.
Oversized.
Oversized, yes.
Baggy,
but not
yes.
90s R&B. I always have a good balance. I always had a good balance back in the day.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't all baggy. But listen, I was focused. Okay. Yeah. I was focused. I was going through a journey and I was focused. But no, happy birthday. We're super excited.
Thank you.
To celebrate. Other big question, if you've been following this podcast and this show for all of our years, this is always the number one question. Was there birthday cake?
Oh, three different cakes. You would have been pleased.
You balling.
Coconut cake?
Nah.
No, I'm telling you, like, no, yes. That's one of my favorite cakes. It
okay,
was a
coconut cake.
From scratch, coconut cake, and it was everything. Chocolate cake and vanilla cake.
Okay, let's get clear, because you are black. And oftentimes when black people say chocolate cake, they mean yellow cake with chocolate icing, not chocolate cake with chocolate icing. Which
it was the latter. It was the latter.
Was,
I prefer they call it church cake. I prefer church cake yellow with chocolate icing, but it was chocolate on chocolate.
Chocolate on chocolate. Jeez. Yeah.
And vanilla on vanilla.
So. And vanilla on vanilla. It's feeling very segregated.
Yeah. Well, hey, not in my stomach. It wasn't.
All right. So this is our last week in Black History Month. So bring me a fact. Somebody doesn't look ready. Somebody was partying too hard last night.
I just want to talk about Henrietta Lacks. This morning.
Okay.
So Henrietta Lacks was the mother of so many different medical treatments, from cancer treatments to you name it. And she really had no knowledge of this. Like, her family had no knowledge of this for years, but her cells, they call them the HeLa cells, were cells that were so prolific that they were used to, they were replicated and reproduced just millions of different times for cancer research and all sorts of things. And if it weren't for Henrietta Lacks, there would be so many medical inventions that would not be possible. Now, the sad thing about Henrietta Lacks is that she went in for treatment. Like, she was ill and thought that she was getting treatment, but instead the researchers were just literally just using her as a lab experiment.
Pillaging.
Yeah, they were just taking her cells. She had different tumors and whatnot, cancer. And this is at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore in 1951. They cultured these cells and she died. And she was not compensated. She wasn't honored, recognized until years and years later. But, you know, her cells really are the birthplace of so many different medical advancements. I just want to shout out Henrietta Lacks. She's a Black woman. And, you know, she lived and she died. And there's so many people who will have a chance to live because of her cells, her immortal cells. So big shout out to Henrietta Lacks.
Big shout out to Henrietta Lacks. All right, great. I love that. That's a great way. It's a great note to end Black History Month with the Momentum Advisors podcast. Well, we've talked about you as Black History. We've talked about Henrietta Lacks.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got something different to talk about. I'm actually really, really excited about the show. I've been wanting to do the show for weeks. So I'm excited that we're doing it. Today's show is about what to do when you hit the jackpot. What if you hit the lottery?
What if you hit number?
Right. I'm sorry. The picket, depending on your age range, the number.
You see what I'm saying? The number.
You know what I mean? What happens if you hit the lottery? That big John, that Powerball,
Lord.
that mega ball.
Come through,
not
mega
the
ball.
Not the scratch off. That's cool. We like those. But the big pie in the sky, the mega millions. Mm-hmm. What happens if you hit the lottery?
And the backstory to this is that literally one of my homegirls hit me up like, yo, I was in this Uber and this is a woman I used to work with years ago at Goldman Sachs. And she's like, yo, I'm in the Uber. I'm talking my finance stuff. And the Uber driver was like, yo, could I ask you a question? Are you a financial advisor? I just won the lottery. And for one, I was kind of shocked because like my man is still driving an Uber. Like if I hit the lottery, I don't know if I'm showing up to work the next day.
You are.
Not the next day, like maybe maybe a month later, but the next day, I don't know. But yeah, this cat literally won the lottery. He won a $5 million scratch off in the state of Florida and was looking for financial advisors. And, you know, what's crazy, by the time we spoke to him, it was like a week past and he hadn't claimed the ticket yet. And I'm like, yo, this brother, like, at first I was wondering, like, did he really win? And then ultimately, I'm like, no, he's just super thoughtful about how he wants to proceed, how he wants to move forward. He was really worried about people finding out, people hitting him up for money. He was worried about the taxes and should he do the annuity and or the lump sum. And there's so many different questions. So my man decided to just keep driving Uber while he figured it out. And I respect that. So our show is always steeped in real life things that are going on. And sometimes people are hitting a number out here.
Yeah. They are. And there's a lot to talk about. So I'm super excited about this show. One of the reasons, though, I'm super excited about talking about this show. So, Alan, I think you know this about me. I've thought about, like, my parents, my dad specifically, always paid a lottery. He always played the picket. He was always searching for some numbers. And he would always say, Tiff, if I hit the lottery, I'm going to give you this or I'm going to do this. And for me, I would always think to myself, I would never want to hit the lottery. Mm. Now, this is just me. And because for me, I just have always felt like I don't need to hit the lottery because I'm going to be successful. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make a lot of money. It's going to come at a pace that I can handle it. And it's going to come in a way that I understand it versus this really big windfall that could shake things up for me. And so I've always said, like, I don't have any interest in hitting the lottery. I don't play the lottery. I don't need to hit the lottery because I'm going to have what I need to have the way that I need to have it. And that's always been my philosophy. So, well, 2 months ago, I'm sitting, I'm visiting my mom and I have my fiance with me. And out of the blue, I make this random statement. My mother talks about, like, if she had the money, she would do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, just randomly. I'm like, okay.
As one does. This is what Black people do.
Yeah, Facts, facts. And I want you to do that. We want you to do that. And out of the blue, I said, if I hit the lottery, I would do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Mm. And I've never had such a thought.
Mm.
And for me, it was like, what does that mean? Like, what does that say? But it was, of course, for me, it wasn't about hitting the lottery. It really was about, like, if I had this huge financial windfall, which before I've always said, like, yeah, I don't really need that. I don't require that. But now I was thinking differently. Like, if I had this huge financial windfall, I would do these things. And what it did for me is it kind of set me on a track of what are the things that I want or want to mm-hmm. do that mm-hmm. I haven't opened my mind up to. Like, what are the things that if I had a huge financial windfall, first of all, what's wrong with a huge financial windfall? And if mm-hmm. I got one, that seemed to have unlocked parts of my thinking or wants that I hadn't touched on before, because everything was like, well, I will incrementally get to this point and it'll be fine. So ever since then, I've been thinking about the lottery. Have I played the lottery? No. Again, mm-hmm. that's still not my thing. But it just made me think about things differently. So I'm excited to talk about the show because some of y'all are hitting the lottery. Some of y'all are playing it. Some of y'all are prepared for it. And so we want to tell you what needs to happen and what you need to do if that happens. But first, we got to start with some random facts.
Okay.
There's some wild things out here.
Yeah, I like facts, but random ones are the best.
They are the best because who knew? Who knew? So first of all, Mega Millions started in 1996. August 31st of 1996 was the first Mega Millions. It was called the Big Game back then. And the first drawing for Mega Millions only included six states: Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Virginia.
So it was mostly the Dixie states. And they threw in Illinois, Michigan for good measure.
Facts. Facts. But at this point, is it the Mega Millions? Because that's got to be the Mega Thousands. It's only six states involved at that point. Powerball came around a little bit earlier. So Powerball came around in 1992. And it is now, listen, that's the one. That is the largest and best known lottery game. The largest jackpot ever won in Powerball was $2.04 billion.
Good Lord.
In November of 2022. If you're going to come out of COVID, come out of it with $2 billion. Right?
But here's the thing about winning $2 billion. Like, to me, I know, look, I would be glad to win $2 billion, but does it feel any different to win $200 million versus winning $2 billion?
Right.
Like, you can't spend it all.
Right. Like, you're going to try, but I agree with you.
Like, if I was in charge, I would be like, look, there's going to be 10 people that win $200 million. But at the same time, less excitement. Like, people get more excited psychologically of the 1 in a 10 million chance of winning a big, big prize versus a higher likelihood of a smaller prize.
Right. Now, likelihood. Great point. What are the chances of winning the lottery? So the chances are 1 in 292 million.
Mm.
Those are your chances.
Can I illustrate how unlikely that is?
Okay. Go for it.
There's about 300 million people in the United States of America right now. And that's adults, children, elderly. Imagine I put everybody's name in a hat, a really big hat.
Okay, a big hat.
What's the odds of me picking your name out of that joint? Like, somebody's name is getting picked, yes, but like I'm talking about 300 million people in America, babies included.
Right.
Immigrants that are non-documented included, like, included. What's the odds of me picking your name?
Well, the odds are you have the greater chance of being struck by lightning twice.
Oh, Lord. I'd rather win the lottery, but.
Honestly, if you get struck by lightning twice, you absolutely need to play the lottery.
Like, hold on. If you've been struck by lightning twice, you need to reevaluate your life choices. Like, where are you? Where you're right. in such a high likelihood of being struck by lightning.
And what are you wearing? Like, what are you wearing? Are you wearing metal? Like,
Are you carrying a large pole? Like, yeah. What's happening?
Oh, possibly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
If that's it, what striking lightning looks like, listen, the chances are slim. Again, that doesn't mean it can't happen, but the chances are slim. Now, okay, so say you do win the lottery. Say you get struck by lightning twice and you hit the lottery. There are only certain states very few states that are going to allow you to remain anonymous. The rest of the states are requiring you to put yourself on blast at some point. So those states are Delaware, Kansas, Maryland, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas. Those are the only states that are allowing you to remain anonymous if you win the lottery. What is that about?
I have a problem with this. They're trying to put people on blast. Like, they're probably doing it to show that it's fair. They're probably doing it to, like, entice people to want to play. But at the same time, you're, like, ruining these people's lives. Like, if everybody knows that you got money, like, you are food out here. Like, you got to go live in obscurity. You got to move. Like, I want to be able to win my lotto on the low.
Yeah, there are ways that you can kind of do that. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But for the most part, you got to put your whole self on blast. It feels like a setup. It feels like a setup for you to get robbed. That's just me. I hear your point from a marketing perspective. It just shows that, like, listen, this is the everyday winner. The every man can win the lottery. Come on and pay your dollar or $5 or whatever the case is. But yeah, I think it's kind of foul. Now, this is a big fact that I didn't know. So the number that's advertised when it's 2 billion, you know, 95 million, whatever it is, that's not the actual real number that you're winning. And I'm not talking about taxes, right? The taxes, we'll get to that. For the Powerball and the Mega Millions, right? You know, you have the option of taking a lump sum or an annuity. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about the annuity, they're just referencing that you'll get 30 payments over 29 years with a 5% increase added every year. So essentially what you get in that first year is the least amount, and you'll get a 5% increase added every year. I'm assuming this is for inflation.
Yeah, no, it's time value of money, inflation. I mean, yeah, if you want $300 million and you want all $300 million, you're taking basically $10 million a year for 30 years, which ain't bad. But at the same time, it's different than a $300 million all at once.
Correct. So the number that they advertise is the annuity number. Mm-hmm. It is the total of the entire 30 payments over 29 years with the 5% increase added every year.
Yeah,
that's how they get to that number. So if you decide to take a lump sum, it's just automatically not even that number.
Yeah.
Before taxes get involved, before anything else gets involved, the advertised total is the calculation of those 30 years plus the 5% increase added every year.
Yeah, and if you want the lump sum, it could be literally 30, 40% lower than that number.
And taxes haven't even gotten involved yet.
And that's before taxes. Like this young man that we talked about that won $5 million, God bless him, and he is anonymous, so I'm talking about his stuff, but you'll never find out.
Good.
The lump sum was like $3.4 million. So literally, like, what would that be? Two-thirds of what the actual advertised number was for the lump sum.
Mm-hmm. These Powerball numbers are looking different. These lotteries are looking different now, right? You're automatically like, how do people blow through all the money? Well, first of all, they ain't even get all the money to start with. That's
we ain't
how
talk
they
about
blow.
Taxes yet.
Right. You know what I mean? And they were thinking that they won, again, $500 million, $2 billion. So they're planning for $2 billion. And that's not what came home. And then, like you said, taxes haven't even happened yet. Do you know that the Powerball and Mega Millions is not allowed in every state?
So you mean if I won it in one of these states, they're going to be like, nah?
No. What I mean is there are certain United States that don't play the Powerball or Mega Millions. They are not allowed. So Mega Millions and Powerball only take place in 45 states, right? That includes Washington, D.C. and the U.S. Virgin Islands. But there are five states where these games are not available. You can't play them in the state. You got to leave the state to play them. That's Alaska, Hawaii, Nevada, of all places, the shade. Because all y'all do is gamble.
Oh, that's shady.
Okay. Utah and Alabama.
Mm. Hey there, boy. You want to play that lotto?
Listen.
You want to leave the state?
These states don't even have lotteries. They don't have lotteries.
Racist country accent.
Is that
I got
what
a lot
was?
Of country. Hey there, boy. That's my racist country. I got a regular country. I got a educated country. I got a lot of countries. But
so we already talked about educated country is Southern.
Southern. That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
So, all right. So you've got a Southern accent. It's good to know. Good to know. I'd like to hear some of these at some point in time. But yes, these states do not have lotteries at all. You can't even play them. Nevada, you are wrong for that. You are a hater for that. But just so you know, so if you're always like, listen, I ain't never heard anybody in Alabama winning a lottery, that's because they ain't got none. Ain't no lottery. And if we're keeping it a buck, Mississippi only started selling Mega Million tickets in 2020. COVID got real. They said, we want in. We need
that money.
We need that money. We need that money.
It's a big revenue source for the states, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to hitting the jackpot, winning the lottery. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we are back. And we are hitting the jackpot.
Show are.
Mega Millions, Powerball. We are winning it all. So we were going through random facts, things that you need to know before you hit the lottery, or at least before you judge someone else who does.
Yeah.
Now we know Florida's always going Florida.
Yeah.
Right? Now they've got some interesting laws around the lottery. So if you live in Florida and you're playing the lottery, first things first. Earlier we talked about like you can't remain anonymous. Oh, Florida does you one better. They have to give your name, the city that you live in.
Oh, come on.
What you won. So like what type of lottery did you win? The date of when you won it and how much you won to anyone who asked. So you can just roll up, you can just send an email, call up Florida Lottery, whoever, and say, yeah, on that that $100 million last night. Keisha Lorraine down in Dade County, she won it. She won this much, and she won it playing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The only thing, they don't have to actually give your street address.
Come on, son. But like, yo, if I know your name and your city, like, it takes 10 seconds with the internet to figure that out. Like, that is really shady. But here's the only thing about Florida. They do at least give you a 90-day head start. So they have a law that says they can't release the information for 90 days. So
you
get 90 days of obscurity.
Yeah, and a lot of states actually have some sort of number. I think North Carolina, it's 180 days. Florida's 90 days. So each state is different, but they do give you a certain number of days where you have to kind of like hide or get your affairs in order or do something before the information is announced. Now, do you know that you can win the lottery for someone else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lottery is not specific to who bought the ticket. It's
that's
only
how I usually win mine.
Yeah? By buying the ticket? Or
no,
someone
win,
give it
I
to
win
you?
It, I win it from other people.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, people who, if y'all won, just, I won it for y'all. Okay,
oh,
just come to
I got
me.
You. Okay.
I have won it also.
Alan's making himself available to y'all if y'all need to share in the winning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. The winner is not determined by who bought the ticket. The winner is determined by who shows up with the ticket.
Yeah.
Right? So you may be like, hey, I bought the ticket. Oh my God, we won. Go turn it in for us. Whoever turns it in is the winner.
Word. Yeah. You remember that movie Lottery Ticket with Bow Wow, Lil Bow Wow? You remember that movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I do.
That was a good movie, whatever.
I do remember that movie, unfortunately. But it's something to know. Again, if you buy a ticket for someone, my dad used to do this all the time. He used to buy like 20 tickets and give each of us five. And I mean, essentially what that would mean is if one of us won, if one of us had the winning ticket, we were the winner. Like, my dad wasn't the winner. So keep that in mind when you're buying tickets. Hold on to them. Whoever claims the prize, if you leave the winning ticket on the kitchen counter and your son takes it on down.
He won.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah. And he's going to have to get that 1099.
Yeah. I mean, and I was going to say that does change things from a tax perspective for a variety of perspectives. But you no longer, that check is going to be in his name.
Yeah.
Which means at that point, you know, when you kept saying, I'm not one of your little friends, you're going to have to remember that. You have to remember that when he cashes that check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what if you bought a ticket out of state? We mentioned those states earlier where they don't have a lottery. So in order for someone who resides in those states to win, they have to leave the state. If you buy a ticket out of state, it's fine, but you have to go back to that state to claim the prize.
I'm going back to Cali.
Facts.
Cali.
And even if it's not one of those states where you are not allowed to play the lottery, you just happen to be somewhere else where you bought the ticket. You happen to be on vacation somewhere else. You're going to have to vacation your ass back there to actually claim the winnings.
I left my ticket in El Segundo.
There you go. Right. And that's only if it's a multi-state game. So, you know, like, I know they have like those like local, the, you know, the Jersey lottery or the, you know, local scratch off games. Like those are different. For some of them, you actually have to live in the state. But these other ones that are multi-state games, it's fine if you live somewhere else, but you will have to go back there in order to get your winnings. Another fun fact, I know people oftentimes think about the massive check. Somebody's handing you this big check with the numbers on it and, yes. and all of that. You ain't got to do all
bank.
That.
Need a big
you ain't
got to
do all that.
That.
Yeah, you can just have them direct deposit it. You can go on and have them direct
That's
deposit
so
it.
Anticlimactic. I want to walk into the branch like, yo,
nah.
yo, check this out. Check this out, teller. What you doing later?
Oh, my gosh. Now what you doing later? No. To go to
go
sleep.
Deposit that for me.
Nah, to go to sleep. It's like a countdown, and to wake up and check your bank account, that is not anticlimactic. That is, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I want a little bit of drama with mine, so.
Of course you do. Now, more importantly, before we even direct deposit or write a check, when did you actually get the money? Like, I have won the lottery. Like you said, your man in the Uber, he's chilling. Like, when can I actually give me my money? So if you win less than $250,000, they give you your money same day. You can come up here and get it and go on home. That's it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Exactly. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But if it's more than $250,000, it can be direct deposited within 2 business days.
I don't have that kind of time.
So if you
run me
the lottery
money.
On Friday, you're not going to get your money till like Tuesday. Something
can't
to think about.
It. I don't can't make
so
it
don't hit the weekend too hard. Like now, all of a sudden, because you hit the lottery, you're wilding out. You're gonna be overdraft for at least a couple of days. Now, if you win like a top prize, like a Mega Millions, a Powerball, cash for life, you can't get paid until 15 days after the numbers are drawn, and even then, you may have a 2-day waiting period.
Man, run me my money, y'all.
So. Again, you got at least 2 weeks to think about it. Other random facts, Indiana is the top state for the amount of Powerball winners.
Big shout to Zips Indianapolis.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah, there have been 39 Powerball winners in Indiana. I don't know what they're doing over there, but I like it. Mega Millions, though.
Okay.
New York State is the number one state for the most Mega Millions winners.
I'm from New York. Concrete jungle where dreams are made.
And what makes me feel even better is New Jersey's number 3.
Come through Jersey.
It's New York, about 43 winners. California, 34 Mega Million winners. And New Jersey has 22. Shout out to the big 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're a part of that.
We are a part of that.
Well, we made it.
I mean, I was. I'm not. And it's not looking good for DC on the list of any of the winners.
So. Yeah, I think we should probably kick DC out of the country.
First of all, calm down. Now, we've
DC,
talked about random facts. Now, what did you do when you win? I have won.
Here's the advice part. Like, this is what we get into. Like, somebody done won and they need to know what to do, what to expect, like, what's going on.
Right. Or you at least know you done played the picket. And so you are prepared to win. Here are the notes. First, you actually have to prove that it's your ticket. This is a real thing. So for legal purposes.
I got it, don't I? Like, that's my proof. So, what's up?
There's a lot of advice that says you need to take a selfie with the ticket. Show the numbers and your face or a video.
Yeah.
Holding the ticket.
And a newspaper just to be safe.
Right? So we have the date on there. Right?
You see what I'm saying?
So it's not like, that's a good point. But you need to do that because someone could sue you and say, yo, that was my ticket. I was at the house and I put it down to go to the bathroom. That was my ticket. So the first thing you need to do is take a selfie with the ticket. Don't post it.
Oh, yes. Please don't.
Just take it. Just take it and have it in the phone. Selfie or some sort of video.
Yeah.
Second thing. I hope this is obvious, but it may not be. You got to keep your mouth shut.
Down low. Down low.
Keep it on. Ah, no, that's the R. Kelly.
See,
I can't.
You actually sang R. Kelly on national podcast.
Yep. As a no. Okay. Yeah. I know. You gotta be quiet. You can't post on social media. Don't go bragging to your friends. Yeah, don't call all the homies up. Don't start adding, you know, Jay-Z on Twitter talking about I'm coming, big homie. Like just stay quiet. Honestly, the recommendation is like, other than your spouse, don't tell anybody, at least for a while. So don't call your mom. Definitely don't tell your kids, because you know your kids run their mouth and they're on social media. They're gonna be TikToking. I'm sure it's a lottery TikTok dance or something. You know, little kids tell everything. You know, mommy didn't shower today. Like, whoa. No one was even talking to you.
Yeah. So look, on the note of keeping it on a down low, there is a strategy for getting the money anonymously, even though it's really difficult to do. You could create what's called a blind trust, and you've got to work with a law firm to do this. The lawyer will basically create a blind trust where the lawyer, like there's a lot of trust involved because the lawyer will actually be the trustee and technically the beneficiary for a really small moment of time when they go to claim the ticket. That's one of the only ways that you can do this anonymously if you're in one of those states that requires that they have to publicize your name and address. Now, this blind trust, like there's only a few lawyers that do this type of work. This might cost you $40,000 or $50,000 to get done. Like it's not cheap, but if being anonymous is really important, if you're worried about your safety, if you're worried about getting hit up constantly, if you're worried about how it's going to impact your relationships, it might be a good investment to get a blind trust.
Yeah. Next big decision you have to make. All right. I hit the lottery. I'm winning. I'm balling. Do you want the lump sum or the annuity? So earlier we talked about like the number that's advertised is the annuity number, not the lump sum number. And the lump sum number is on average 40% less than the advertised number. So are you trying to take this? You want your money right now. I don't trust y'all. I want my money right now, even though you're going to take a large amount out of it, or do you want it in annuities? Here's my thought process around it, and it's a couple of different things. So first things first, some people are like, I don't know if I'm going to live for 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm not banking on me living for 30 years, and y'all not going to catch me slipping. I want all my money up front.
Run me my cash.
The other thing, right, as financial advisors, the thought is, listen, I can invest that money right now. I can grow it. If you give it all to me right now, and I invest it, and I diversify my portfolio, I can grow it at a faster rate. I'm not worried about getting all that money up front because I'm going to make it on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
But that means you have a plan. That means you have a financial advisor. That means you're being responsible. That doesn't mean that you're just taking a check and chilling and kicking it. And then separately, maybe you know better. Maybe you don't trust yourself. You don't trust your family members. Word. I can't take all this money up front. I don't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be wilding. Like, so you know what? I don't mind getting a hefty check every year with a 5% increase every year. One, that allows me to get more of the actual earnings. And two, I can pace myself.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's something to be said about having an annuity. Like a lot, there's a couple of famous athletes like Allen Iverson, who one of his Reebok contracts, he had them annuitize it and postpone it because he knew that there was a chance that he might blow through his money. And in his 40s, my man is still getting checks from Reebok. And like, who knows what he would have done with that money otherwise. So that annuity is not always a bad idea.
Facts. I don't think it's ever a bad idea. It just depended upon you. Now, I will tell you this fun fact. No one has taken an annuity since 2014. That is so the last time.
Our level of trust has gone way down. But here's one of the reasons. Look, I know this is not in the notes, but... when did Obama leave office? Just saying. Like, I'm just saying. I don't know if I'm taking an annuity under the administration since then myself.
I hear you. That's a good point. That's a good point. But yeah, that's the last time any lottery winner has taken an annuity. Another thing, once you win the lottery, and we talked about this earlier, you do have to prepare for publicity. Unless you are doing this blind trust, you have to prepare to reveal your business to the world. News reporters are going to be checking for you. They might be trying to talk to your family and friends. They're going to be checking your social media. I'm sure they're going to be checking your email address. So like if your email address is something ratchet, they're going to know about it. How can you prepare? Again, if you're not going to do the blind trust, get a public relations person. At this point, you can afford it. Hire a PR person. Let them know, listen, I have to reveal myself, but is there a way that we can do it where I feel comfortable, or we can, you know, shape the story? But hire a professional to help you prepare. If you're afraid of public speaking, if you're afraid of the media, like, hire someone to help you navigate that process.
Yeah, we got you. Call Momentum Advisors.
No.
We have a team of publicists.
We do not.
We're financial advisors at a minimum. So call us about that. Okay.
Another thing, Alan mentioned this earlier with the Uber driver, you do not have to accept the money right away. You typically have a period of time before you need to claim the money. North Carolina, you have 180 days before you have to claim the prize. Here's the reason why. And a person may be like, well, I want my money now. You said I got 15 days or I got 2 business days. Give me my money. You may need time to get things in order. Right? Like, that's important. You may need time to get things in order. If you hit the lottery on Christmas Day, you might want to move that taxable income to the next year. You might want to hold off till January 2nd or 3rd so you don't have to include that.
You spitting now.
In the previous year taxes.
You see what I'm saying?
God forbid you're going through a divorce. You might want to wait till the paperwork is final.
Lord.
I'm just saying.
Oh, so you just so I'm clear. So you don't want to be together anymore, correct? All right. Okay. All right. Sign these papers then.
I'll
sign the papers.
You can stay in the house. I got it. I'm not even gonna take all my stuff. I'm gonna just take my gym bag and my favorite pair of Jordans and I'm out.
Yeah. I'm gonna be all
right. Right. And that's that. So you don't have to accept the prize money right away. You want to have some strategy around it. Again, work with a financial advisor. They can talk you through kind of what makes sense. Here's the other thing. Do not, okay, to say you decide to take the lump sum and you get a check, do not just show up at the bank with the check. Do not just show up at the bank with the $568 million check waiting in line behind 3 people on a lunch break. Okay? That is not the responsible thing to do. So at this point, you need to call ahead or you need to set up an appointment with bank's upper management, private banking, or somebody to set up a meeting to talk about how this money is going to be deposited. And it's not just to deposit it, to talk about how it's going to be deposited. It does not need to all go in one account. Right? Again, this is where you will need a financial advisor who, God willing, has a banking relationship. And you guys are talking through how many accounts are you opening? What types of accounts are you opening? Remember, right? Like, the government only issues insurance up to $250,000 per bank account.
Yeah.
So of your $580 million, I just keep throwing out random numbers. Only $250,000 of that is insured. For that reason, you will need multiple bank accounts and you have to figure out a strategy around that. I'm telling you right now, if I'm a bank teller and you roll up on me 5 minutes before I'm about to get off work for my shift about to end and you hand me a check for a crazy amount, I'm going to call security and say they playing games. I got to go. I don't have time for these games. I'm literally about to get off work. Like, I'm going to think it's a rubber check. Like, I'm going to think like this is funny money. There's no way this is going to make sense to me. Right. And so please call ahead, work with your financial advisor, have them set up an appointment. You guys have a strategy on how it's going to be deposited in a way that makes sense. All right. So we have a lot more tips that we need to tell you, the advice that you need for if and when you hit the jackpot. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
And What happens when you hit the jackpot? We are giving you the advice that you need, the things that you need to know. If you hit the lottery, if you think you might hit the lottery, if you know somebody who's going to hit the lottery, these are really important things. It's not just about picking the right numbers. There's a lot more things that you got to get right after the fact. So the obvious, you've got to hire a team. And that team includes financial advisors, tax people, lawyers. You have to get an entire team around you once you get this money, because you want to have a strategy around it. And the strategy is not to hold you back or to tell you what you can't do. The strategy is to set you up to win. And we have to imagine that there are so many other people who are going to benefit from you winning. It's to set you guys all up to win, to make sure you don't make bad decisions around this money. Again, maybe they're having the annuity versus lump sum conversation with you. Maybe they're telling you which banks you need to put the money in, how many different accounts, what types of accounts. There's a variety of things that they need to think about. Again, that the tax person, a CPA, we are no longer QuickBooksing it out. We're no longer turbo taxing it out, right? You have to get a CPA who's going to work through a very, very robust tax strategy.
Yeah, I mean, we talk on this show a lot about really complex planning, like trust and estate planning, making sure that this wealth is multi-generational. If it's some of these big numbers that we talked about, like a financial advisor will help you to build a team. Like, you're going to need a lawyer, maybe multiple lawyers, accountant, maybe multiple, maybe you need a tax lawyer. But we will help, but a financial advisor will help you to think about not just the budgeting. The budgeting is like a really small part of it, but what about investments? What about different estate planning structures that can ensure that this money is around for a very long time?
Yeah, we like it. And so to that point, the next piece of advice is do not hand out cash to your family and friends. And we literally mean just that. Do not hand out cash. We're not saying don't give them money, don't help them. We're not saying don't support them. We are saying do not start writing checks. There is a strategy that needs to happen around that. You could be creating a tax nightmare for your family members if you just start handing money over. So yes, come up with a strategy first on who you're going to help and how you're going to help them. Please don't feel obligated to start bailing people out, giving out all types of loans and lump sums of money. That's not what needs to happen. But you do need to come up with a strategy. Who am I going to support? Who do I want to see helped with this money? And how do I want help to look? What's the end goal? A lot of times people will ask you for money and they'll just ask for a dollar amount. But for what? You need $30,000 for what? Do you need $30,000 because you want to go to Super Bowl, or do you need $30,000 because you're trying to buy a house? And if the goal is to buy a house, maybe we could structure it in a different way where I can make sure you get the house. I don't create a huge tax bill for you. And it's a bigger and better strategy long term. So understand the end goal that you're trying to accomplish for these people, and then work with your team to come up with a strategy. Because again, if you just start handing out money, I am telling you, you could create a huge tax nightmare for your family members, where you end up ruining things more than helping things.
And you could be ruining your own estate planning. Like, there are limits to how much money you can give away before you start getting into gift tax limits, before you start impacting your ability to make a lifetime gift to your own children. So you want to be thoughtful. I know you're generous. We appreciate that. But it really needs to be coordinated with some professionals.
100%. Going back to your Uber driver, don't quit your day job
immediately.
Now yeah, like, exactly.
Quit it after a while.
I mean, or just change things, right? So like, first things first, don't do anything until you have the money in hand. Like, so you actually have it in your name. So don't quit your job immediately. I don't care what's in your savings, whatever the case is. Like, because the other thing is, a lot of times, how quickly do they know if multiple people won? Right? Like, you thought you won the whole winnings. Turns out 40 of y'all picked the right number. And so now what you thought was a huge number might not be so big. So don't do anything until you actually have the money in hand. But now that you have the money in hand, it doesn't mean that you don't need to work anymore. Like, working is about more than just income. It's about purpose. It's about passion. It is about using your skills and resources in life. So maybe you quit your job. Maybe if you don't love it, But you find something that you do love. You do take on a new career. You start a company. You invest your time and effort and skills and resources in something else because you still, your life still has to have meaning.
Yeah. But also, like, to your earlier point, Tiffany, about make sure you've got the money in hand first. I read an article this week about the Powerball in DC. There is a black man who has the winning number. But he went to go turn it in and they said, oh, that wasn't the number that was drawn live. And now he's fighting. Like, imagine if my man, and he stands to win $340 million and his number matches the number that he said he saw on TV. But now he's in a dispute. Now he's suing Washington, D.C. over his Powerball. And so you want to make sure you get that money in hand. And don't go in. Imagine he went into his job talking crazy. Like, you know what, man? F you. I hated you. Right. I never liked you. Listen. And then he goes to turn in a ticket. They're like, bro, you ain't win.
And I seen a picture of dude. He's an older gentleman, which means,
you see what I'm saying?
If he went in there wilding, I don't know if they're going to give him his job back. They're gonna be like, listen, old man, you done activated retirement. I don't know what to tell you one way or the other. So yeah, make sure you actually have the money in hand. And then again, like, it's not about just not doing anything, because that's the quickest way to blow through your money is not having anything to do. That's also a really quick way to have an unhealthy life. You got to continue in your purpose, and maybe having this money allows you the time to figure out what your purpose is or what truly matters to you. But once you figure it out, you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The big one that everybody talks about is taxes.
Yeah.
It's taxes. And here's the thing. Y'all think, all right, here's the number. I'm going to just pay this tax one time. Nah, you're not getting taxed one time, right? Like, it depends on what you do with the money. So yeah, the dollar amount that you receive, if you accept the lump sum or whatever it is, you typically, about half of it will go in taxes, and that's immediately. But now you start investing it. Now you start putting it in different accounts. Once you start putting it in certain accounts, based on what your financial advisor says, you might end up having to pay capital gains tax based on the type of account. So you've done the right thing. I've invested my money. I've got all these different accounts going and moving and working for me. The money's growing. This is great. We're doing good. You might have to pay money on the growth. So yeah. I got taxed in the beginning, and now I'm going to get taxed for doing good and the right thing. So this is what we talk about, having a tax strategy. It's not just, all right, y'all could take it this one good time. I'm good. I'm a wild out from here. That's not how it works.
Yeah. And we did a show called That Ain't All Your Money. And we really broke down how taxes work. And the highest federal tax bracket is almost 40%. And then you got to tack in your state taxes, depending on where you live, that could be another 5 to 10%. So you might have lost 50% from the rip. So imagine you picked the lump sum, you're already down potentially 40%. You then factor in taxes. And a lot of times they don't even withhold all the taxes. Like in Florida, for example, they withhold only 20% for taxes, even though in reality, your tax rate might be 37%. Mm. So if they withhold 20, you think you're good because they withheld. And then come April, you go to file and it's like, no, you owe another 17% to the feds. So like these taxes, like this is a real, real consideration. Like they're not going to necessarily withhold the proper amount.
Yeah. And to Alan's point, like it is your responsibility, right? Like, listen, I told y'all to take it. Y'all didn't take enough. That's not on me. It's 100% responsibility. Next thing, and I think this is like Captain Obvious, set some sort of budget. Listen, we're not telling you not to make your dream purchases, not to buy the house, not to buy the car, not to take the vacation, all the things. But it can all fit into a budget. A budget does not mean lack. A budget does not, like, people hear budget and they think, so you about to tell me what I can't do. No, we're just budgeting how you can do all the things you want to do. This money is not a bottomless pit, right? Like, I know no matter how large it is, you think like, listen, I'm never going to run out of this money. I don't think that way. You should think, how can I create a legacy for this money to last as long as possible while also doing all the things that I want to do? And so create some sort of budget. Work with your team to create a budget. Your budget could be $1 million a month. I hope it's not, but it could be. Either way, at least you know and have some sort of understanding and projections around what that means long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the big hearts, everybody, honestly, no matter what they say about the world, right? Like everybody in the world's horrible, all the things, social media, the news say all these things. People do have a good heart. Donate to charity. almost guarantee, I don't believe there's anybody who's ever won any amount of money who did not give, you know, to the less fortunate, to organizations that matter to them, for scholarships, for schools, for neighborhoods, for communities. Donate to charity. Do it in a way, again, where you are working with your team. Please don't just start dropping bags of money around homeless people. Like, I mean, you can. I'm sure they're not filing taxes that year, so it could be fine. But also create some sort of strategy that benefits you from a tax benefit. You know, charitable giving can be a write-off. So do a little bit of both. You want to do the things that serve you, but you want to do them in a way that serves you across the board.
Yeah, maybe there's a chance to create a foundation or a donor advised fund, or like maybe this becomes your job. You know, like we talked earlier about quitting a job or maybe finding a new purpose. Maybe this is part of your purpose, is to have a charitable organization and you're running that. And maybe you're running the investments and you're running how you give away money. Like there's a lot of things that can be done besides just spending the money on yourself.
Yeah, these last three tips for me, I think are super, super, super important. When you win the lottery, if you hit the lottery, if you have some sort of major financial windfall and you receive a ton of money, you need to hire a therapist. Here's the thing, and I think especially if you are a person of color and you didn't grow up with money and you know struggle, you like all these things, having a large amount of money just show up one day can come with a range of emotions. You could start to feel paranoid, anxious, scared, you don't know, like entitled. It's a whole new version of feelings and emotions that will start to come up that needs to be addressed so that you don't start to pick up unhealthy habits, so you don't start squandering money, so that you don't turn into somebody that you don't like, that you don't turn into somebody that your family doesn't recognize. You are going to need someone to help you mentally cope with what this means, whether it's the level of responsibility or the level of relief or guilt. Sometimes people feel guilt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't deserve this. Maybe you start to feel pressure from your family and friends. We just did a show about making more money than your friends. Maybe you start to feel like these can't even be my friends no more.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you do need to hire some mental help to help you navigate this and help you manage the emotional response.
And this is good advice for a lot of scenarios. I know we're talking about the lottery today, but a lot of us need therapy just off the trauma of everyday life, off of how you were raised, off of stress that we all feel. Like, therapy should not be a taboo. Therapy should be widely accepted. It's something that everybody can really benefit from. But I agree with you, Tiffany. If you've won the lottery, like, this is going to be a major emotional moment, and you want to make sure that you're dealing with it properly.
Yeah, 100%. Second to that, right? The follow-up to that, get healthy, right? Like, you've won the lottery, but you know you're in poor health. You know you don't take care of yourself. And oftentimes the reasons are, listen, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to go to the doctors. I don't have time to do this surgery that I know I need. I'm going to just power through it. Well, now you got time. You've bought the time. Get healthy. Take care of yourself. Take care of your body. We just talked about taking care of your mind. Also take care of your body. Like, being super wealthy probably comes with its own level of stress on your physical body. Mm-hmm. Make sure you can actually enjoy this money. You can live the best life imaginable, not in pain, not struggling, not wheezing all the time. Like, you want this money to feel good on you. And so if you know you aren't at your healthiest, you aren't at your best, you haven't been taking care of yourself, or maybe you just don't know, go find out. Get healthy, take care of yourself, take the time, spend the money. It will make this money all the more worth it. I know Steve Jobs talked about him having all his money, but he was dying and there was nothing he can do about it. So he wasn't going to be able to enjoy all this money and all these accomplishments. If you win the lottery, if you have some sort of financial windfall, or you don't, the number one thing you want to be able to do is enjoy the life that's in front of you. And you're going to need your body for that.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, really. I mean, at the end of the day, you got your health, you got the people you love, and then there's money. Like, I think a lot of times we put the money first.
Yeah, and we shouldn't. And the last tip is, you know, it's unfortunate, but plan for beyond you, right? Like, winning the lottery doesn't make you immortal.
Mm.
Right. No matter how many kids Nick Cannon has for stem cells and all of that, like, you're not going to be immortal.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to pass at some point. Please work with your team to set up what this money means for beyond you, for your legacy, estate planning, a will, trust, a variety of things. How will your family be taken care of? You don't have a will. You don't want all this money. What if this money then goes to probate? What if your family doesn't even get access to this money after you pass away? Like, make a plan. That's what we talked about, team of financial advisors, CPAs, lawyers, so that this money lasts beyond you.
That's a fact. Hey, before we wrap, I do want to make one public service announcement. Okay.
Uh-oh. The fact this that is service in the public is concerning.
Yeah. Starting today. Okay. No, I don't want anyone to think this is an endorsement for playing the lottery. Like, this show is really about the person who played and won.
Yeah.
I really view the lottery as, it's not quite predatory on Black people and poor people, but it kind of is. Like, the lottery really is a tax, because we talked about the stat earlier of you having a 1 in almost 300 million chance of winning. That means that 299 million people just added money to the government with nothing in return. And it was completely optional. Like, I know a lot of people with a lot of money, and it's typically not the wealthy that are playing the lottery. It typically is a working class professional. It's someone who isn't necessarily high income, and it's kind of like a tax. And so, again, this is not an endorsement, but if you're doing it anyway, we're just telling you what to do if you win. And we hope that you win. But yeah, most people don't win. And I hate for people to, the other day I was in a store and I saw one of my old high school professors. I guess they're teachers. They're not really professors.
don't shade the high school education system.
Wasn't that educated for him to be a professor. But I saw one of my old teachers and I'm like, oh, what's going on, Mr. Teacher? And he was in there playing the lottery. Mm. Almost like that was part of his retirement plan.
Yeah.
And like, I hate to see people who are baking this sort of thing into plan A. Like, this really shouldn't be plan B or plan C. If you're doing it, God bless you, but make sure you're taking care of your own retirement planning, your own saving, make sure you're buying life insurance. Like, don't leave this up to chance.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I will add something to that as well, just to close this out. For me, this is not totally about winning the lottery, right? It's more from my perspective about, like, miracles happening, right? I'm reading this book right now, and it's called The Course in Miracles Experiment. And it is really changing my thought process around the life that we live and the miracles that are all around us. The opportunity for a miracle, people always talk about, like, an overnight success, or you're one prayer away, or you're one day away, or one right decision away from your life changing, right? And it doesn't have to be the lottery, right? Like, it just can just be, again, a decision, a miracle, a betting on faith, a believing in God, and then overnight, what looks like overnight, things change. Preparing for a miracle, right? Like, miracles are all around us. It just depends on what we choose to focus on, and do we give it the opportunity to thrive? I'm going to share a quote with you from this book that has really been resonating with me. We give up our power of miracles for security.
Mm.
And what that means is we put these limitations, we put these blinders on our life because we know how things go. If I just keep doing this like this, then it's going to only go but so good or bad. And I'm comfortable with that because I know that.
Yeah.
And it's never going to get too wild. But if you remove these blinders, if you remove these limitations, and a lot of those are cultural, historical data, a lot of that is what you hear on social media, what you hear somebody else went through, what you think you deserve, or whatever the case, if you remove those lenses, you remove those blinders, you allow the opportunity for miracles to happen, for that right decision, for that one opportunity that could turn you into a millionaire entrepreneur, that could turn you into the CEO of whatever company, that can make something that feels like winning the lottery happen.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we want you to be prepared for it. So this is not about, you know, picking the right numbers, or, you know, going and faithfully playing every day, going down to the right. I don't even know where you, I guess you got to buy them at the drugstore, the liquor store, wherever, going to buy your lottery tickets faithfully, store. Right? It's about preparing for the miracle that can happen.
I receive that. And I honestly, yo, in so many ways, I feel like I've won the lottery in so many ways, whether it be the genetic lottery, whether it be the geographical lottery to have an opportunity to be in the United States versus other places where life is just a lot more difficult.
Correct.
The lottery of the time that I was born in versus I could have been born in the 1600s during slavery time. Like, I mean, there's so many ways that we've already won the lottery.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are all miracles. These are literally all miracles that happened that did not have to happen, that have set you up for success, that have set you up to win. You won. And so prepare for that. Here, the tips that we've shared, I think, are transferable, whether you actually hit the Powerball or if life just changes for you because you're faithful, because you're trying, because you're open, because you're believing, and something happens overnight that changes your world.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Show.